Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from Pastor Mike Gowans.
There are unseen forces at work, church. And these unseen forces are more real than what we see. There's another realm that we can't see with our natural eyes that is more real than the one that we can see. And the manifestation of that unseen realm and world was on display this week in Texas. And that's what it is. And until you acknowledge that, you will never fix the problem called the human heart. And that's what Jesus came to do. To change the human heart. To bring and place heaven in to our hearts, to place eternity into our hearts, to transform us. Church, God is calling us forward with an unseen power. An unseen power that manifests with His love and His power and sound minds. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. We are like common clay jars that carry His glorious treasure within, so that this immeasurable power will be seen as God's and not ours. Though we experience every kind of pressure, we're not crushed. At times, we do not know what to do, but quitting is not an option. We are persecuted by others, but God has not forsaken us. We may get knocked down, but not out. We continually share in the death of Jesus in our own bodies so that the resurrection life of Jesus will be revealed through our humanity. We consider living to mean that we are constantly being handed over to death for Jesus, for His sake, and so that the life of Jesus will be revealed through our humanity. So then, death is at work in us, but it releases life to you. We have the same spirit of faith that is described in the Scriptures when it says, "First I believed, then I spoke in faith." So we also first believe, then speak in faith. We do this because we are convinced that He who raised Jesus will raise us up with Him. Together we'll all be brought into His presence. Yes, all things work for your enrichment, so that the more of God's marvelous grace will spread to more and more people, resulting in even greater increase of praise to God, bringing Him even more glory. So no wonder we don't give up. Even though our inner person gradually wears out, our inner being is renewed every single day. We view our slight, short-lived troubles in the light of eternity. We see our difficulties as the substance that produces for us an eternal, weighty glory far beyond all comparison. Because we don't focus our attention on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but the unseen realm is eternal. Let's pray again. Father in heaven, we thank You that You left that unseen world and sent Your Son to rescue us so that we could join You in that unseen world one day. But until that day, let us be Your vessels, Our jars of clay filled with heaven, filled with your love, filled with your power, filled with your wisdom. Let us be the very hands and feet of Jesus. And today, oh God, let the spirit of faith rise up. Let the spirit of faith fill us up, that God, we can too, like those that we have read about in the Bible, Lord, by the spirit of faith, did great exploits. God brought more of heaven to earth. Lord, today, anoint me, anoint us, fill us with this unseen power. Fill us with the spirit of faith. Holy Spirit, help me get out of the way, that you may flow today, that the word of God may go forth, the incorruptible seed of the word of God may enter our hearts and transform us and make us new and make us look more like Jesus. Holy Spirit, do what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we also speak. This unseen power that I want to talk about today is the spirit of faith. There's a spirit of faith that's available for people to operate in. For those who believe and speak, this is how that spirit fills these jars of clay that we are. We are jars of clay that are leaky. And we can't live on yesterday's spirit of faith today, because faith is not yesterday and faith is not tomorrow. Faith, according to the written scriptures, to the Bible, Hebrews chapter 11, faith is now. It's a substance. It's a substance. There is something about faith. It's real. It's a spirit. There's this spirit of faith. Just like there's a spirit of fear, and there's a spirit of witchcraft, and there's a spirit of rebellion, and there's all kinds of evil spirits. But there's a Holy Spirit. Yes. That has holy power. Come on. And one of those powers is the spirit of faith. So today I'm going to do my best to answer these three questions about the spirit of faith. Question number one, what is it? What is the spirit of faith? Question number two, how do we get it? How do we get the spirit of faith? And question number three, what does it say? The spirit of faith has something to say. Number one, what is it? What is the spirit of faith? Well, the spirit of faith is the attitude that analyzes every fact with God's word. It analyzes every fact with God's word. In keeping with honoring our first responders and armed forces, I got a quote from Lieutenant General Chesty Puller. He said, we're surrounded. That simplifies the problem. They are in front of us. They are behind us. And we are flanked on both sides by an enemy that outnumbers us. They can't get away now. That's what the spirit of faith sounds like. Chesty didn't deny the enemy, didn't deny the problems, didn't deny the facts. I also remember a story about a young, handsome pastor who 8 years ago took a team of missionaries to Puerto Peñasco, Mexico, and he had his youth pastor with him, and he saw a baseball stadium, and he told his youth pastor, he said, one day God's going to give us that stadium to reach this city. See, the spirit of faith actually doesn't have to have all the details. Doesn't have to know how it's going to work out. In fact, the spirit of faith is open to God doing exceedingly abundantly more than you think, ask, or imagine. Okay? Because the spirit of faith knows that what God's plans are, they're the best ones. What God has in store for you are better than any plan you could ever work up for yourself. That's what the spirit of faith looks like. And so, a couple of years ago, we were given the baseball stadium for free by the city. And then a week before our mission trip, an outreach, I get a phone call from one of the pastors, and he says, Pastor, I have some challenging news. Hopefully it won't be bad to you. And I said, okay, well, go ahead. And he said, well, we're not going to be able to use the baseball stadium. Okay, and so how is this not bad news? Well, the city has given us the convention center that has air conditioning to use for free.
Come on, Jesus.
Come on, Jesus. Yes. See, the spirit of faith is not, oh no, oh no. It's, what are you up to, God?
Amen.
What are you up to in this moment?
Yes.
One door gets shut, but what door is going to get open? That's what the spirit of faith, that's what the attitude of faith is. It's not about spinning stuff, okay? It's about knowing who your God is, knowing God works all things out for good for those who love him. Okay, man, this is disappointing. This isn't what I was expecting, but God, what are you up to? What are you up to in this moment? Yes, if you need to, lament that moment. Lament that disappointment, okay? Lament it. Get it out, okay? Do what you need to do. Cry it out, whatever. But you got to move forward, okay? There is a forward. Do not live in the miry pit. Do not live in that. There is a moment to mourn, okay? And I've learned more about mourning and lamenting in the last 8 weeks than I have my whole life. And I feel like I'm a rookie at it, okay? And I think it's important. But we don't live in that lament. Even most of the Psalms that we know are laments, David doesn't live there. He laments, and then what's he do? He magnifies God. He glorifies God. He praises God. So there is a place. Lament. Lament hard. Get it out. You can have disappointments, okay? But you can have expectations. That's what hope is. Hope is a good expectation of the future. But guess what? It doesn't always happen the way we hoped it would. So acknowledge that. And as soon as you can, go, God, I don't understand it, but I trust you. What is the spirit of faith? It's an attitude. It's an attitude that God is good. God is in control. God is for me. And how do I know that he's for me? Because he sent his son to die for me. That's how. I look at the cross. This beautiful symbol just reminds me of that our God, my creator, loves me and wants to spend eternity with me, that I'm valuable, that he spared no expense to purchase me, to pay for my debt. That's the attitude of faith. It's not, oh, I'm being punished right now. No, there's no punishment from God for me. None. According to the scriptures, sure, he can discipline those he loves, but that's totally different than punishment. So in no moment of my life Will I accept God's punishing me? Because he said he's already put all of the punishment I deserve for my past, present, and future sins. He's already placed it all on Jesus. There's no double jeopardy. Been tried, and I've been given the non-guilty verdict. And when people ask me, how do you plead? How do you plead after the stupidity of your decisions the past week or month? How do you plead? I plead the blood.
Come on, amen. Come on.
I'm not trying to make excuses up. I just go as quickly as I can. The blood. That's what I plead. That's my case. It all hinges on that, not my performance. This church is why we can operate in and with the spirit of faith at all times. At all times. Paul writes, we are jars of clay. Jars of clay to be filled with power, this unseen power that motivates us to lay our lives down for one another's, to sacrifice, to really love each other. Jesus said, this is well about us, the church. He says, the world will fully know that I'm real by the love you have for one another. Joshua and Caleb in Numbers chapter 14, they had the good report. They saw the facts. They had the attitude of faith, while the 10 bad spies saw the same things, but they had a different attitude toward what they saw. See, the spirit of faith sees problems as opportunities. The spirit of faith sees problems as job security. Okay? That's what the spirit of faith does. The spirit of faith says, I eat problems for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. The spirit of faith says, if God is for me, who has a chance against me? That's what the spirit of faith is saying. And if you're hearing something contrary to those things, then you've got a different spirit. And let me just help you here. Christian, non-Christian, you can be influenced by spirits. And the devil has punked a large percentage. And yeah, I'm bold enough, let it be streamed online. Because you need to hear this, those of you online. You need to understand, the devil's looking around. He's prowling around for people he can influence. If Peter, who was with Jesus, who God said, upon the revelation you had, Peter, I will build my church. If Peter could be infiltrated by a spirit, by Satan, and Jesus had to say, Satan, get behind me. If Timothy, who was pastoring one of the largest churches in the New Testament, first century church, if Timothy could have a spirit of fear, who do you think you are? And for you as a Christian and go, oh, I've never given in to any spirit of fear, liar. You got a spirit of lying too on you. We need to break off, all right? There are spirits. One of the spiritual gifts is the discerning of spirits. Okay, it's the gift that God gives. If we didn't need that gift, why would he give it? We need it. You need to know what spirits are at work trying to get into your home, trying to get into your kids. The greatest trick the devil's ever played on people is to convince him he doesn't exist. The next one for Christians, I believe, is to go, oh, I can't really affect you. I can't get in you in any way because you're a Christian and there's no, you know, light and darkness. You know what? That's true. The devil can't get into your spirit. But how many times did Jesus cast spirits out of people that had sickness? Sickness is a spirit. Cancer is a spirit. Yes, it manifests itself in the natural. Viruses are spirits. These things. And yes, there's a science so you can see how they manifest. But there is a spirit of infirmity that Jesus cast out of people. But if you go, oh, well, I can't have that, then you're ignorant. And then you'll just let that spirit of infirmity operate in your life. And go, well, it's just my thorn I have to bear. Oh, really? Why don't you wait for three angels to tell you that you have to bear it before you start bearing things that have been sent from hell? It's time to return to sender the garbage that he's been placing on. It's time for Christians to open their eyes, receive a spirit of faith, and fight. Fight the good fight of faith. You know, and it's like, oh, well, let me get all theological. You know, there is a demon, a doctrine of demons that try to convince Christians that the devil can't operate or do this or that. Are you kidding me? I mean, for all the world to know our country, there's a spirit that was at work in Texas in an individual. Oh, but he was out of his mind. Of course, that's what devils do. That's what spirits do. Read your Bible. And when you're out of your mind yelling at somebody, your wife and kids, oh, what do you want to call that? An evil spirit or an evil you? Because that's evil. And in fact, if you saw yourself tape recorded, you would go, I was controlled by something else. It's time to wake up, church. It's time to stop being a puppet and letting the devil pull your strings. Go, oh, I can't have a spirit. He's already got you. It's time to repent of your deception. You are deceived, church. For all of those, go, oh, a Christian can't have a spirit. You are deceived and clueless to the real battle that's going on. And he's got you. Oh yeah, he's not going to manifest himself in a way to overexpose himself because he's got you convinced he doesn't exist. But here's the good news for us Christians. We don't have to be afraid of the devil. In fact, the end of the book tells us one day we're going to see him. And we're going to go, what? I was afraid of you? What? It's like the Wizard of Oz. It's the man behind the screen. Okay? Jesus has defanged, declawed this lion. All he's got is a roar. That's it. That's all he's got. There's an unseen power called the Spirit of Faith. And the Spirit of Faith knows what's true and knows that there's a battle. Question number two, how do we get it? How do we get the spirit of faith? How do we get it? Well, I think there's three requirements to get the spirit of faith. Number one, desperation. You want the spirit of faith? You better figure out that you need it. Because if you don't have a desperation for it, it'll just pass you right by. And this is our challenge in the Western world. You know, we've been blessed with a lot of technology and science, and but we turn to those things many times first, don't we? I know I'm guilty of it. I'm guilty of it. I've had a headache from time to time. I get a headache, and I have turned to, let me go take a couple pills for that headache. Dr. Kevin Wall never has. You know, he's a doctor, knows better that's what's in that stuff. But I have. Anybody else? Anybody else turned first to that and not God? Like, come on, we've all in multiple ways have turned first to the things of this world. And some of those things are good. They're not necessarily bad. But we must seek first the kingdom. We seek Him first, in His way, in His power. And so, if you want the spirit of faith, you got to be desperate. It's in fact how you came to Jesus. You were desperate. You were like, I'm at the end of myself. And you go, well, that's not really how I came to Jesus. I was, you know, super successful, but just felt, you know, like maybe, The preacher said Jesus was knocking at the door, and it sounded like it was raining outside the door. And I mean, I'm a nice guy, so I let Jesus in. Brother, sister, you may not be saved. You don't just add Jesus onto your life. He becomes your life. And this is why there's so many people with fish on their license plates and people who call themselves Christians that deny Him with their lifestyles because they were never desperate for Jesus to be saved. To be saved. You want the spirit of faith? You want the Holy Spirit to live in you? You need to be desperate. You need to go. There are no other options. My life is heading toward an eternal cliff. Now, granted, Jesus says, come, taste and see that I'm good. So at first you may not see it, okay? You might not know how much better there is because you haven't had that many difficult things yet. That's why Jesus says it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Why? Because a rich man is not desperate. A rich man doesn't think he has needs. Until you come to this place of desperation, you can't really even be saved. And if you want, as a Christian, to walk with the spirit of faith, you need to live desperate for it. You need to have situations to go, man, I can't do this without God. On, I mean, when I pray for people that are sick, hurting, with needs, as the prayer requests come in and I look at these things, guess what? I need the spirit of faith. Because I need a miracle. I need God to come through for people. Number two, you need to decide. After you realize you're desperate, you have a need, you must make a quality decision. You must make a decision that he's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the answer. I'm going to put my faith and trust in Him. You got to make a quality decision like Joshua in Numbers 24. He said this. He says, for me and my house, I don't know about all you, but for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That's a quality decision. But for me and my house, we're going to love Jesus. For me and my wife, we're going to advance the kingdom of God. For me and this church, we're going to let the Holy Spirit be welcome. For me and this church, we're going to believe the Bible. Okay? We're going to make a decision that if the Word of God says it, it's been settled. That's what the spirit of faith says. It doesn't, well, I don't really understand. Like, you know, I don't get this or that. No, it doesn't matter. Spirit of faith says, God said it, that settles it. I don't need to have to understand. I know He's good. I know He's awesome and all powerful. And I know He has our best interests. for those who believe. Number three, after you've made a decision, it's time to make a declaration. So you are desperate, and you make a decision, and then you make a declaration. That decision is to believe. That decision is to believe God's word. Jesus said this in Mark chapter 11. Jesus replied, "Let the faith of God be in you. Let the faith of God be in you." Is it in you? Come on. I mean, this world is constantly ripping off the Bible. I mean, well before Gatorade, "Is it in you?" was right there. Jesus said, "Is it in you?" Not Gatorade, faith. There's a spirit of faith in you. Listen to the truth I speak to you. Whoever says to this mountain with great faith and does not doubt, mountain be lifted up and thrown into the midst of the sea, and believes what he says will happen, it will be done. This is the reason I urge you to boldly believe, and whatever you ask for in prayer, be convinced that you have received it and it will be yours. Oh, but Pastor, there's no buts. That's just the word of God. Accept it. Don't look for all the loopholes of why you don't have to. Jesus said, "You speak. Believe in your heart, receive it, and speak." You speak. You make the declaration. Mountain, move. Move. Church, so many are like, "Well, I don't see healing." Well, have you ever prayed for it? No. Then you won't see it. Or others, "I prayed one time, it didn't happen, so I just kind of gave up on it." What about the pray without ceasing? Seek, knock. Same way you got born again, you recognized you were desperate, you recognized that he was the answer, and you believed and received it. Then what did you do? You confessed what you believed in your heart. This is what Romans says is how you're saved. You believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth and you are saved. This is how you walk by faith and not by sight. This is how it's done. The last question is, what does the spirit of faith say? As I'm wrapping up. What does the spirit of faith say? Confession number one of the spirit of faith is, "I love the fight." Come on, say that with me. I love the fight. No, come on, say it like you mean it. I love the fight. This is the precondition of victory. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Confession number one, I love the fight. Confession number two, I must have victory. I must have victory. I must have healing. I must have deliverance. I must. And all your musting is what is already in heaven. You're not musting earthly things, you're musting heavenly things. You're musting what's in heaven. And isn't that what Jesus said to pray for? Pray for the kingdom of God to come here on earth as it is in heaven. So I'm musting healing. I'm musting deliverance. I'm musting salvation. I'm musting provision. I'm musting it. I must have it. And all I'm musting is what God wants. Yes. You must it. This is the price of victory. This is the price of victory. This is what it sounds. So I got to have me some of that. Oh, we're having worship night and we're declaring miracles. Oh, I got to have, I must be there. And I'm coming early, okay, because I'm getting a good seat. I'm musting it. It's a price. There's a price. The spirit of faith is you going, "Oh, I'll lay down my life. I'll lay down my life. Not to earn something, but to receive it, to get rewarded. Number three, confession number three. I love this one. Woo-hoo. Come on, victory! I think I'm going to wear my Air Jordans tonight. Feel like dancing tonight. Come on. Confession number three. I cannot be defeated. I cannot be defeated. Oh, back to Joshua. Oh, he's in the fight. He's chasing the enemy. The enemy's trying to get away. And the sun is going down. And he has the spirit of faith. Joshua had the spirit of faith on him. And he's chasing the enemy down. And he's like, no, no, today the enemy must die. Today, not tomorrow. I'm not waiting for tomorrow. See, too many times we made a decision. All right, you know, tomorrow I'll start losing weight. Tomorrow, you know what? I won't lust tomorrow. Just, you know, No. Today's the day of salvation. Yes. The spirit of faith says, I'm not letting the sun go down on my anger. I may have to stay up all night, but I'm not going to let it go down on my anger. That's what the spirit of faith says. I cannot be defeated. And Joshua, I mean, the audacity of Joshua to turn to the sun and say, son, stop. Stop. That's what he said. Oh, man, I can't wait to check that film out in heaven. See what the angels were doing, looking around at each other going, God the Father, hey, what do we do, man? This guy's got the spirit of faith. You give him everything else he asked for. What about this? Here's what I also love about that story is Joshua didn't know that the earth was what was turning and not the sun. What does that give me hope for? I don't even have to know and pray accurately to receive the answer from God. I don't need to know what's causing the pain in your back. I don't need to know what's going on in your head. I don't need to know it to pray to see it delivered, healed, provided for. That should give us all. All I need, though, is the spirit of faith that says, I cannot be defeated. Yes. Cannot be defeated. If God is for me, and he is, then who can be against me? Church, Spirit of God is in this place. Spirit of faith is in this place. And you are a jar or a soon-to-be jar of clay to receive that spirit. It's time to empty yourself out of the other spirits. Anger is a spirit, church. Especially if it's unrighteous. We're spirit beings. It's the good news. By the finger of God, the devil's crushed. God's arm is not too short to save. Would you bow your heads as we close? Father in heaven, I thank you for your promises, for your word. I thank you, you're bringing revelation to people. People are being set free today, even as the truth is revealing the deception. Jesus, you came to set the captives free. And he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. The devil has no right in our land, in our lives, in our minds. Do you need him today? Do you need the Holy Spirit of faith? Are you desperate for him? Are there other options but him? because you got to get rid of them. You got to get rid of those other options. If you want the spirit of faith, get rid of the other options. Go all in. No other options but you, Jesus. No other options but you, Holy Spirit. And you'd say, I'm making a decision right now by lifting up my hands to surrender to the spirit of faith, to surrender to Jesus. Lift them up all over this place. Lift them up. Lift up your hands to heaven. Lift them up. Say, I need the spirit of faith in my life. Oh God, I want you. I'm desperate for you and I'm making the decision, Jesus. You are my King. You are my Lord. And I receive a spirit that comes from you that is full of love, power, and a sound mind right now in the name of Jesus. Make this confession with me, church. Say, Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit. With the spirit of faith, fill me with your love, your power, a sound mind, peace from you, Jesus, the Prince of Peace. I receive today your love, your forgiveness, your righteousness. I receive the spirit of faith and a victory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.